This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Jay, what was the general reaction of Chiefs fans a week ago tonight when they ended up trading up to the Bills to select Patrick Mahomes?
Thank you, Buffalo.
Jay Binkley, our Odyssey Sports sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, joining us now, 2017. Feels like just yesterday, Jay. We've got a similar situation here with the Bills and the Chiefs back-to-back at the end of round one. Looking forward to tomorrow night. How you been, buddy?
We've been doing good, man, but I didn't think we were your sister station anymore. I thought it was something else.
No, Jay.
I thought it was the daddy station until the Bills beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
No, you didn't lose the Super Bowl. You got clocked. So you are in the same boat as the Bills. You didn't win the thing,
man.
Did you? You didn't
win. I got good news for you, too, Gene. I know you're coming in this July. I'm getting you Royals and Mets tickets here in Kansas City. And that Friday night is the Eric Hosmer bobblehead night in a celebration of the 2015 World Championship over the Mets. You're going to love it, man. It's going to be fun sitting there with you for that.
Jay, you can keep the bobblehead.
Jay, I'm realizing that Gene is a glutton for punishment. He keeps inviting you into the sports bar, and you just torment him. You're living rent-free in this dude's kitchen.
Well, it's going to be fun sitting there with him, just reminiscing about that as we look at Arrowhead as we walk into the stadium and stuff. It's going to be fun.
Jay,
yes,
talking about living rent-free, and we played the quote about Patrick Mahomes. Now, as Ron and others, because we were talking about that earlier, have pointed out, look, I'm okay with Patrick Mahomes ending up in Kansas City because the first round gives the Bills the collateral they needed to move up and get Josh Allen. We're all good, okay?
Sure.
It was last year and Xavier Worthy. Two teams, the Chiefs and the Bills, that needed a wide receiver, and here was the Chiefs trading with the Bills, not leapfrogging, trading. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about Kansas City's needs, defensive line being right at the top for Buffalo, where does defensive line rank right now in terms of needs for Kansas City entering the draft?
I think it ranks number one, and it's one of those deals where you look at the draft board and you think, all right, who could be possible trade partners if they wanted to trade up and get ahead of Buffalo? You know, maybe the Rams at 26, or maybe moving up to Vikings at 24. You know, last year I sat there, you know, I marked Buffalo off the list. That there's no way they're going to take their phone call, no way. And then they do, and I was like, shocked by that. But yes, defensive line, I think they're earmarked for that. I know everybody has Chiefs being mocked and offensive tackle and all that. That's not going to happen. A lot of people want that, and they saw the Super Bowl, and they think, well, that's what they need. Well, yeah, they do need it, but they address that in free agency to some extent. Not wild about this offensive line class, as I'm sure you guys aren't either. But defensive tackle, edge, I think the two priorities for the Chiefs in round one, that is such a deep position.
Walk me through that, Jay, because I'm like everybody else. I'm dumbfounded to hear that a team that has Chris Jones is going to be looking for defensive line help when their offensive line kind of let them down the stretch, and you've lost some key pieces there.
No, it did. No, 100% it did. No question about it. But, you know, they're going to restock for the defensive line. They like a rotation on the defensive line. They do need help on the offensive line. There's no question about that. And they lost Joe Tooney when they traded him to the Bears. So that's a huge loss at left guard for the Chiefs. They did sign Jalen Moore to be the left tackle during free agency. I just don't know, man. Unless you're going to trade up into the top 10 to 15, can you get a true left tackle? And I don't even know if they're 100% there, because the best tackle in this draft, in my opinion, is Armon Mimbu from Mizzou, and he's a right tackle. So I think left tackle is a real stretch in this draft. And to expect someone, I know people, the popular one is Josh Simmons, Ohio State with Kansas City, but I'll remind people, Brett Veach has never taken an Ohio State player at all in the NFL draft. And I think just asking for a rookie to be blocking for Mahomes when you saw him running for his life last year, I don't think that's optimal for the Chiefs. I think a better quality of player could be garnered in the first round, to be honest with you. They've had success getting linemen later in the draft. Matter of fact, two of the starting linemen for the Washington Commanders are former Chiefs seventh-round pick and undrafted guys as far as their left guard and their right tackle, and that's when the Chiefs do some business. But they'll be looking at defensive line. I think it's going to be kind of Buffalo looking for a player. They're right in front of Kansas City, unless they take their phone call again, which they just might do. Buffalo's always been very friendly. Buffalo and Baltimore have been great for the Chiefs. They're like that spurned ex-girlfriend that keeps taking that call, you know?
You know, when we figure out Dwayne Carter and what he's going to be in the NFL, Jay, and Xavier Worthy, can we grade the trade from last year? Can we wait on that? Or no, that's not the way this works.
Well, the one thing about it is, I mean, on paper, they had great receivers. I mean, in the training camp at St. Joe, it was bombs away. The Chiefs are returning to form, throwing downfield with Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. And then, boom, first preseason game, Hollywood Brown's out basically till the end of the year. Only had 9 catches for him. Rashee Rice gets hurt early in the season against the Chargers, and it was Xavier Worthy. And he wasn't quite ready to step up early in the season. He did towards the end. He was a leading receiver through the postseason, had over 150 in the Super Bowl. Granted, take a lot of those yards with a grain of salt. But still, he was their leading guy. He was forced to step in and really up his role with the Chiefs. I don't think they plan on having that rookie being that go-to guy for the Chiefs down the stretch, but they ended up having to do it because, you know, injuries did wipe this team out a wide receiver last year. I still feel they need a wide receiver. I don't think you can load. If you have quarterback like Mahomes or Burrow or Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you got to load him up with talent. You just have to load him up with talent. It's what Manning, he had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. He wasn't complaining about that. You're only going to have these quarterbacks once in a lifetime. You might as well give them as much weapons. And Chiefs have been heavy drafting on defense the last couple of years, taking a stab here and there at wide receivers. But offensive players just really haven't been the impetus for what they're doing. They've been reloading this defense. I think they go for skill positions on offense.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Take skill position, take offensive line, do whatever you do. Jay, if it is defensive line, okay, I do think at where you are at pick 31, I don't think Walter Nolan will be there. I don't think Harmon from Oregon will be there. I'm going to float a name at you. Kenneth Grant, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I don't know if he's going to be there either, guys. I think Kenneth Grant might go early, right? You know, the more and more you think about it and see things, Walter Nolan and Derek Harmon kind of hovering there at the end of the draft for Buffalo or Kansas City to pick. There might be a situation where both of them are still sitting there at 30 and 31 for the Chiefs and the Bills to grab, to be quite honest with you. I think Grant's going to go earlier, to be honest with you. Derek Harmon was looked upon as a second-round pick most of the way through it. And then when the draft process started, he started moving up, puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. There's a lot of things that they asked Chris Jones to do. You know, that 36 pressures he had at Oregon, did a great job at Michigan State before he transferred to Oregon. And Nolan being an Ole Miss, the Chiefs love drafting guys out of the SEC, so look for that. But, you know, more and more chances, these guys still could be there. What really stinks, though, guys, is for both Buffalo and Kansas City, is last year you had those 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round, matching the 83 draft. He had seven receivers going, matching 2004, and you had eight offensive linemen tackles going in the first round, matching 2008. So all these spots that, you know, were taken, take as many quarterbacks as you want for these teams, because it leaves players there at the end of the first round for the Chiefs and the Bills. But I don't know what they've been saying out there, but Brett Veach of the Chiefs, he says there's about 12 or 13 guys they have first-round grades on. And it's kind of reminiscent of a couple years ago when there was 13, 14 maybe guys in the first round, a little bit more when they got Trent McDuffie, because they had still a first-round grade on him. He started falling in the 20s. They made that move with Buffalo. That's right. You guys took Tyree Elam. That was a great pick. And the Chiefs got an all-pro in Trent McDuffie because they hopped over Buffalo. But that was the guy they had a first-round grade on.
Jay, what about running back? It's a deep class this year. The over-under for the first round is set at 2.5. Do you think that the Chiefs would go with a running back here at the end of the first round, similar to what they did a few seasons ago with Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Sure. They could. I hope they don't. The general manager, Brett Veach, has been on record saying this is the deepest position group in the draft, being the running back class. And we've brought on various guys from the national scene, kind of to look at the prospects, and they had the running back class as the number one as well. When it's that good, I think you can get them in the second round, the third round, the fourth round, in other places, and then you got to kind of whittle it down, because I think that returning the kicks is very important. Now that the ball's going to be moved down to the 35 for touchbacks, I think anybody drafted a wide receiver, running back that does have that skill set, can they catch the football and can they pass pro? Because that is a big thing when you have a guy like Allen and Mahomes and these guys. You want a back that you can put in there for pass protection, which is very important. But, yes, I love this running back class. 100%. There's no way they should go with this draft and not have a running back, to be honest with you. And I think they should get him early. We had Dylan Sampson mocked to the Chiefs in the second round out of Tennessee because this draft class is so good. I wouldn't waste it on a first round. I know there's been talk about Travion Henderson going to the Chiefs and all this. And, again, I'll remind people, Ohio State, take that with a grain of salt. But, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fit the profile of what they needed. It didn't end up working out for the Chiefs. But I think there's other positions that could be starters for this team, and I don't think they need to reach on a running back that early.
Jay, one thing we've been discussing, and Danger and I kind of vary. He's a Kenneth Grant guy. I'm a guy that I'm being.
I like
little,
him too.
Yeah, I'm being a little more practical though, because the way I see this draft going, you're going to have quarterback needy teams passing on quarterback, because at the top of the draft, that's not where the value is, as you know. So
no.
You're going to have teams that are going to want to jump back into the first round. And the question is, who's going to want to move out of there? And Buffalo did that last year. And if the strength of this draft is in the second round, has there been talk about Kansas City doing the same? What about the idea of moving down in this draft?
You know, there is, but there's not a ton of value to move back from the end of the first round. There's not that quarterback to say, all right, we'll trade back into the first round and get, because I think these quarterbacks are dime a dozen. Cam Ward's going to go number one. I think Michael Penix, who went to the Falcons, would have gone ahead of Cam Ward had he been in the draft last year. I don't think there's that quarterback that teams look at and say, we need to trade back in the first round. I will say this. If Luther Burden, the wide receiver, or Tedrick McMillan get on the slide and they're still sitting there at the end of the first round, I think some teams in the second round might take a look. I love the second round because the board kind of resets itself and everything. But if Buffalo and Kansas City were going to have the opportunity to trade back, I think it would be a Luther Burden or a Tedrick McMillan, you know, possibly sliding. I'll be honest with you, I think both teams could use that quality of wide receiver. If Luther Burden or T-Mac is still available, and I know we've been talking about defensive line for the Chiefs and Bills and stuff, but man, would a Luther Burden look great in Buffalo or Kansas City?
Jay, it's a great time of the year because not only do you have the draft, it's the season of lying. It's also the season of hope, and there are other teams in the Chiefs division that have a little bit of hope based on their performance last year. You had 3 out of 4 teams in that division make the postseason. Is there any concern that the pack has finally caught up to the Kansas City Chiefs, who've been so dominant in the West for as long as they have been?
Well, that's why I look at last year and think that might have been their most impressive conference championship out of the bunch, just because of the three teams that did end up make the postseason. And then, oh, by the way, the team that doesn't has a guy named Pete Carroll that won 2 national titles in college and won a Super Bowl in the NFL. It's been a good debate. What do you guys think? I'm curious. if I was to ask you who the second best coach in the AFC West is, or the first, if you don't think it's Andy Reid, but who would you say? Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton? Which one would you say right now is the second best coach in the AFC West?
Payton. Who would you go with, Danger?
I like Harbaugh.
You know what? I would honestly go with Pete Carroll just for what he's done. I'm not kidding. What he did at USC was incredible. The way he built up Seattle, should have two Super Bowl rings had he not ran the ball with Marshawn Lynch on the one and decided to have Russell Wilson go out and throw an interception that gave Tom Brady yet another Super Bowl. But Pete Carroll has won at all levels, and he's hungry. Harbaugh is a great coach, and obviously he's been to a Super Bowl and won at the collegiate level. I think both those guys have really a better track record than Sean Payton. I know Sean Payton, you know, won that ring in New Orleans with Drew Brees and everything, but man, those other guys are really accomplished. And as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, I would say Justin Herbert's number two, and then there's a battle who you think is better, Geno Smith or Bo Nix. Geno Smith is an incredibly accurate quarterback as well, so he does have that going for him.
Well, Jay, I'm going to say this, and you can mark this down the Wednesday before the draft. The Bills and the Chiefs, because the Bills reside in the AFC East, this is what the Chiefs lived off of. The Chiefs last year won a lot of close games. We could debate if that was luck or wasn't. You made your own luck. Sure. The point being, though, postseason this year, I think it's going to be coming back up to Buffalo. So, can't wait.
I think the Chiefs and Bills will be in the postseason once again. I think they'll meet each other. I mean, it is still the class of the AFC, you know, despite the Chiefs getting hammered in the Super Bowl, they still got there. They were still AFC champions, and Mahomes has never not ever been to the AFC title game losing in overtime or the Super Bowl. But they just find a way to get there. Even though it wasn't the best team on paper, they still found a way to win 15 games in the regular season. It's going to be tough. This division is going to be tough, no question about it. I will say this, though. Mahomes has only lost one game on the road against a divisional opponent. Just one. That's incredible. Their record against the AFC West. They take it personally, the AFC West, and they've kept kind of a low profile. Mahomes, Kelsey haven't been really doing all the commercials or anything. Mahomes cut his hair down real short. They're kind of angry, to be honest with you. So it's going to be interesting to see. They've kind of kept this low profile and going to go have a lot of fun with it. But I do expect to see the Bills and the Chiefs together once again. I think New England is a rising team in the East, and they're not ready for prime time yet. I would look for that in the future. Miami is just self-imploding on itself like we thought. And then there's the Jets, and what you can't really say about the Jets. So I think Buffalo is going to have an easy, easy way to win that division.
Yeah, Jay, that's interesting. I'm wondering, you mentioned Kelsey kind of keeping a low profile this offseason.
They have been.
What's a fair expectation for Kelsey here, which we all kind of think this might be his last season, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the talk about is he done or not, and clearly the Super Bowl was not a good game for him. He was serviceable. I still remind you, he did catch 97 passes last year. So being washed or not, they still had 97 catches, which is big. I think it was big for the Chiefs for him coming back. So because tight end was going to be a position that they were going to have to look at in the draft. And now, and this is a good draft to get a tight end as well, but that kind of helps them at one position. They don't need to, you know, make a stretch run at in the draft. So I think that does help bring in him back. But, you know, I kind of love the low profile, you know, just stay out of the commercials, stay out of the spotlight a little bit and, you know, get back to business. And I think that's what they're going to do this year.
Jay, we've got our new stadium here in Western New York. Granted, we're pretty much paying for it. Okay. But I'm trying to follow along here. What's going on here with the Chiefs? And it seems more like the Royals too. Where does it stand right now in terms of new stadiums for both those teams?
Well, it's a mess. There's a fight to try to keep them in the Jackson County where they're at now. Clearly, it's probably not the best spot for the Chiefs because they want to put development, you know, around the stadium and do those kind of things in the Royals. But there's been a battle between the Kansas with these bonds to put out attractive offers for the Chiefs and to Royals to move across a state line. Missouri is responding, hey, we need to keep these teams here because can't lose another team in the state. They've already lost the Cardinals in football, lost the Rams in football. They don't want to lose the Chiefs as well. But I think Missouri's making a good effort to keep them. Now, I don't know if they're going to stay in Jackson County, but the city of Kansas City came up with money for them to have. But, you know, maybe the Royals are for sure moving. We know that for sure. The Chiefs, it's not 100% whether they renovate that stadium or just build a new stadium there on that complex. But I desperately think the Chiefs kind of want to do what they've done at SoFi and put hotels and restaurants and those kind of things around the complex.
Yeah, we say it all the time. Money's not in the team. Money's in the stadium. Yeah. Money's in the stadium. Jay, so
what stadium you guys have is awesome. They just put the final beam up in it.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, that it'll be interesting. I joke. I'm like, it'll be nice for, you know, the first 5 weeks of the season, and we can't have nice things here. I mean, you know, something will happen, and everybody be like, I don't want to be jaded
you're jaded.
I'm a little bit jaded.
My Sabres can move here, though. I love the Sabres, so they can. That's
bite
one Buffalo team I can support.
Bite your tongue. Jay, when I come to Kansas City in July, how am I going to be greeted? Is it going to be like, hey, you know, we're going to talk Bills and Chiefs, or are you going to look? Are people going to look down on somebody from Western New York?
No, I think they'll be friendly with you. They're like everybody, you know, you come in here, you have some barbecue, we'll have some fun. Even being a Mets fan and lover that you are, I think you'll like it here. But no, I don't think there'll be any kind of Bills trash talk going your direction. I think people will like it, and they'll enjoy you being in the town and having a few beers, a few pops, some barbecue and everything. I think you have a good time here. Now, I may give you crap, but
Jay, are you on? Tell us when for everybody that when Kansas City makes a move and they want to listen in the Odyssey app, how can they catch you here?
Yeah, well, we will cover it all too. We've been basically covering the draft for everybody. We've been doing a lot of draft specials at night and did one Monday night. We got 5 hours of coverage tomorrow night. The Royals playing nicely into the schedule. Of course, we carry them as well. But when they're playing in the afternoon, that gives us full first round. And then Saturday, we'll be doing a 6-hour show, 11 to 5. And then we're on Sunday and then Monday. So the Royals have been very kind with their schedule, kind of working in with the NFL draft. It's been great.
Awesome stuff, man. We'll be checking it out. Appreciate you making time, as always, to check in with us here. We'll be catching up with you here shortly, I'm sure.
You guys are the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jay.
There's Jay Binkley. 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City, our Odyssey Sports sister station. Just a quick plug for another 96.5. Tomorrow morning, I will be on The Break Room on CMF.
Oh, the Tommy Tells It Like It Is draft edition.
Correct. So I will be in there, and we'll see what Tommy predicts. His prediction's usually wild. One thing we can predict, it will be unpredictable. That's tomorrow morning on The Break Room just after 9 o'clock on CMF.
Yeah. Gosh, they got to take offensive line.
They don't.
They don't.
They don't, and they won't.
Wouldn't that be the most, oh, my gosh, they traded up to take Ken and Grand, or they traded up to
Gino? You're speaking it into existence, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Who are they trading up with? Do you think the Ravens are taking their call?
How about the Rams?
The Rams are taking their call?
Rams in the first round. Like, what are they doing here? They don't know what to do.
It's a weird scene when you don't have any movement. We haven't had any drama. We haven't had any movement. No pre-draft intrigue. Everybody's holding their cards close to the vest. I don't know if I like it.
It's a clue that these quarterbacks, like Pittsburgh's on the clock at 21 and Sanders is still there.
They're holding their breath hoping he's still there.
Yeah.
You got to take him if he's there, right? You can't wait around for Aaron Rodgers. You got to take the guy. Whew. Yeah, Chiefs with needs, but I would say go offensive line. But to hear Binkley say no, defensive line – really? Okay. Happy Hour is next on The Fan Rochester. You can pull up a stool and join us on the Good Smoke Barbecue and Pub Wingman line at 866-4-FAN, 866-4326. Award-winning barbecue from Good Smoke Barbecue and Pub, 135 West Commercial Street in East Rochester, goodsmokebbq.com. Brandon Bean speaks last night. We have the NFL draft tomorrow night. We have a round of shots coming up. And we have time for your calls, all on the way here on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.